The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome to Pilgrim on this frosty day. I'm not worried about you dozing off at least.
And you won't be sweating.
I don't do that anymore. But I will later. Actually, I'm going to later. So, that would be nice. Well, we're thankful for the heat when we have it, and we're thankful for God's presence and His gifts given to us this morning in word and sacrament. So regardless of the temperature, we know that God is in our midst and has called us to be His people. For our time of catechesis, we're going to look at the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, which begins on page 323. What is the first petition? What does this mean?
God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in His petition that it may be kept holy among us also.
How is God's name kept holy?
God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in His truth and purity. And we, as children of God, will also lead holy lives according to it.
So in our understanding of this petition, as we look at the first part of the meaning, the question arises, isn't God's name already holy? And the answer is yes, of course it is. But what's the problem? Our use of that holy name and how we use His name. The name was given to us when we became Christians at baptism. God's name was placed upon us. That's why there are two different ways of looking at the beginning of the divine service. I look at it one way, Pastor Galler looks at it another. It doesn't mean I'm right and he's wrong, or he's right and I'm wrong. It's just two different ways of looking at it. But I believe the invocation is the putting of God's name on the people rather than on myself at the beginning of the service. And the book ends at the conclusion of the service for me with a benediction, where once again, what's put on you? God's name and the blessing of God that comes through His name. He's made His name known to us, and therefore we are His children, and He has given to us His sacraments that we might be incorporated into what all that God has done. So we are under a great necessity, Luther says in a large catechism, to duly honoring God's name, keeping it holy, keeping it sacred, regarding it as a great treasure, and one of the most sacred things that we have. As His good children, we pray that His name may be kept holy among us. So we do in this petition the same, very same thing that God demands of us in the second commandment. That His name should not be taken in vain by swearing, cursing, deceiving, so on and so forth, but used rightly to the praise and glory of God. And we give thanks today that that's exactly what He's called us to do. Have His name put upon us, and then give Him praise and glory in that name. Any questions or comments about the first petition? We're using Divine Service Setting 1, beginning on page 151 for our service of preparation. We stand as you are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, you revealed to the Apostle Peter the blessed truth that your Son Jesus is the Christ. Strengthen us by the proclamation of this truth, that we too may joyfully confess that there is salvation in no one else. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Today is the Feast of the Confession of St. Peter. The first reading appointed for today is written in the second book of Luke, commonly called the Acts of the Apostles, the fourth chapter. In those days, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
Open to me the gates of righteousness. This is the gate of the Lord.
The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me
and have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected
has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing.
It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we pray, O Lord.
O Lord, we pray, give us success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us.
Bind the vessel sacrificed with horns up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you.
You are my God, I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The epistle is written in the second letter of St. Peter the Apostle to the exiles of the dispersion in the first chapter. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with truth, virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sin. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please remain standing for the hymn of the day, number 512.
some of us sang the Amen at the end of the hymn while the organ was still playing. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When you hear the word confession, what comes to mind? Confession of sins? Or a confession of faith, as in a creed? Or in a doctrinal position, as in a denomination? The Lutheran confession, the Baptist confession, the Methodist confession, just as examples. Why do you first think of one before the other? And how are these different? The word confession comes from the Latin confessio, to admit, to acknowledge, to declare. So confession is the admission and acknowledgement and declaration of our faults as sinners. It can also be the admission and acknowledgement and declaration of our faith as forgiven sinners. Today is the feast of the confession of St. Peter, as announced in the first reading today. In today's gospel, Jesus and his disciples were in the region of Caesarea Philippi. It was known historically as a site of paganism. In the Old Testament times, it was likely a site as a shrine for one of the Baals, the Canaanite deity. In the New Testament era, it was dedicated to Pan, who in Greek mythology was the deity of the wild. In other words, shepherds, flocks, nature, and fertility. Pan was depicted as half man, with the horns and legs and tail of a goat, who also was found consorting with the nymphs. The city was given to Herod the Great by Caesar Augustus in 20 BC. Herod named it Caesarea in honor of Augustus, and also built a pagan temple and dedicated it to Augustus. After Herod's death in 4 BC, the kingdom was divided into four smaller territories, ruled by Herod's three sons and his daughter. His son Philip was one of these tetrarchs, and he renamed Caesarea Philippi in honor of Tiberius Caesar and himself. Here, in a known pagan region, at the foot of Mount Hermon and the headwaters of the Jordan River, Jesus asks his disciples concerning his messiahship, saying, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." Good job, Peter. But Peter wasn't alone in making a good confession. Consider some other examples. Nathanael, who confessed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Martha, even in the midst of her sorrow over the death of her brother Lazarus, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." And also Stephen, who confessed in the midst of enemies who, with stones in their hands, would not receive the truth that he confessed. And let's also recall the confession and even martyrdom of those outside of Scripture. to name a few, the Bishop of Smyrna, Polycarp, in the 2nd century, and Jan Hus in the 15th century, both burned at the stake for their confession of Christ. Athanasius, in the 3rd and 4th centuries, who was exiled repeatedly. And of course, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther, standing boldly before King Charles, Emperor Charles V, saying, "Here I stand, I can do no other." They made confession, about which the divinely inspired Saint Paul wrote to Timothy, "Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." And so today, we focus our attention on the confessions of Saint Peter in both the Holy Gospel and the first reading. And so make our theme, making the good confession. And therein is a problem. Namely, that we don't always make the good confession. Do you not think that the unholy Trinity, Satan, the world, and our sinful nature would not wish to keep us quiet and influence us in that regard? We see the truth at all levels being muted in our own culture. And so we're not shocked to see this in the church as well. Perhaps your confession and my confession has not faltered as glaringly as Peter's denial of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was being interrogated by the Sanhedrin. However, can we confess that we have not confessed his truth with clarity and conviction? Are there times when you did not find St. Paul's words to Timothy encouraging? Let's be honest, okay? Most of the opportunities that we have had in making the good confession are not in hostile situations where we face overwhelming loss, right? Most of our confession is not in a pagan region, even though we've moved from a post-Christian era and are now standing on the threshold of a pre-Islamic era. Most of our confession still is shared with like-minded folks, and it doesn't require much courage. And what about me, Pastor Galler, and other pastors? We don't go to work where people object to talking about Jesus. We don't go to school where people joke about being a Christian. Over 90% of the time, we are with fellow believers in Jesus. And then we preach and we teach the gospel. We administer the sacraments, and we are financially compensated to do so with little objection until it's time to stand up for something like closed communion on Christmas Eve or Easter Sunday. Then watch the fireworks. But still, that's more irregular than frequent. Today, we face heretical worldviews in a nation that's mostly reverted to paganism. It's much more dangerous and takes more courage to confess that Jesus is the Christ and the only means of salvation and reconciliation with Almighty God. What happens when we tell friends and family members who don't believe in Jesus that they will be lost in hell? What happens when I tell you that because of our silence and all of our other sins of commission and omission, We deserve nothing but God's temporal and eternal wrath and punishment. Your called pastor and I will both tell you this, because there is a source of fear and terror that is greater than your displeasure. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul." Or I might add, or make you unhappy or even withhold your pay. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So Peter was likewise compelled to declare his confession to the Sanhedrin, as we heard in today's first reading. "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." That's a courageous confession, because it was boldly proclaimed in the face of possible execution. But more important was who was confessed. And it appears to me that Peter did not forget what Jesus told him at his confession in Mark 8, our gospel, and the resulting sinful rebuke of Peter. Peter said, "You are the Christ." And then Jesus plainly explained what it meant to be the Christ, the Messiah. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Peter's confession to the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4 proclaims the very suffering, dying, and rising Messiah of Jesus' explanation in Mark's gospel. "For there is salvation in no one else than Jesus, our substitute, the innocent one who suffered and died in our guilty places to pay the penalty for our sins, who then rose again from the dead, victorious over sin and Satan and death. And now forgiveness, life, and salvation are available through faith in him." The Holy Spirit calls and enables us to confess this truth. And to strengthen our confession of faith, God's word is read, spoken, expounded, and prayed in the divine service. His word, connected to the water in holy baptism, brings us into the kingdom of God and creates faith and empowers us every day. His word of holy absolution applies forgiveness of sins personally and individually, and so comforts us and releases us from despair. His word, joined bread and wine in the Holy Supper, are the true body and blood of Christ given and shed to us so that we might be nourished in the forgiveness of sins. Earlier, I mentioned Pan, the false Greek deity of the wild. Greeks believe that he often wandered peacefully through the woods playing a pipe. But when accidentally awakened from his noontime nap, he could give a great shout that would cause the flocks even to scatter and stampede. From this behavior, Greek authors derived the word panikos, a term for sudden fear, often attributed to the presence of a deity. Panikos is the source of the English word panic. Beloved, no such panic is necessary as we vocally, forcefully, and publicly make confession. As we make confession in the creeds, as sponsors at our baptisms, as those who speak confession at our confirmation, and as we make confession even at the rail, as Christians in our daily vocations. However, our confessions pale in comparison to the fact that Jesus says, "Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven." Think of it. Jesus promises to acknowledge our good confessions and make an even greater confession. Jesus himself will acknowledge you to the Heavenly Father on the last judgment and then receive you into everlasting life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate, and suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand.
Receive our praise this day for St. Peter and his confession that Jesus is the Christ. We rejoice that your Son builds his church upon this rock and that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Keep us in this faith all our days. You place the wood of the cross on the back of your only begotten Son, that as the promised offspring of Abraham, he might possess the gates of hell. Bless, we pray, his church and all those called to preach and teach within her. Give them certainty that hell cannot prevail against them, and so embolden them in faith to trample every power of his enemy. Lead those with oversight and authority in the Missouri Synod, Texas District, and this circuit to hold member pastors and congregations to their commitments of Holy Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. Call pastoral candidates and fill pastoral vacancies. Bless the Luther Academy and its mission to promote genuine confessional Lutheran theology among pastors and congregations. And for this congregation, return absent members to your altar, prosper our Sunday school, and make our offerings more than sufficient for the work of your kingdom in this place. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Father, until your Son returns in glory, he gives us his body and blood to sustain us. Grant that all who receive this gift today of the Holy Supper may receive it in sincere repentance and firm faith, trusting that it is given for the forgiveness of their sins and life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, grant us the grace to take up our crosses and follow wherever you lead. Give us courage in the face of challenge and adversity, and compassion and harmony in our lives together. Strengthen us and all the baptized against all temptation. And when we succumb to any temptation, lead us to repent and forgive us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, you desire all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We implore you to turn the hearts of all who have forsaken the faith once delivered to your church, especially those who wandered from it or are in doubt through the corruption of your truth or have never believed. Mercifully visit and restore them, that in gladness of heart they may take pleasure in your word and be made wise unto salvation through faith in your Son. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, your Son upholds the universe by the word of his power. According to your will, grant favorable weather and rescue, relieve, and restore those affected by drought, wildfires, flooding, extreme weather, earthquakes, and volcanoes. Lord, in your mercy. Shine your light upon us, O Lord, that we may do what is right and good and live as faithful citizens in our nation. Give wisdom to our President, Congress, the United States Supreme Court, our governor, state legislature, and the Supreme Court of Texas, that they might pursue peace between nations, protection for the unborn and those least able to defend themselves, and justice for the offender. Protect, uphold, and grant discernment to all those who serve in the United States Armed Forces and in law enforcement and first responders. Lord, in your mercy.
In your prayer.
Lord God, as you protected the scattered Christians to whom the divinely inspired St. Peter wrote, protect Brady, Jason, David, Charles, and all who travel in our time, whether for work or pleasure, by land, sea, or air. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, your mercies never cease. Comfort those who mourn. Heal victims of violent crime. Grant hope and patience to those imprisoned and their families. Be present by your word and sacraments with those who are shut in. In your time and way, deliver from their afflictions David, Lana, Tracy, Margaret, Tina, Katie, Gwen, Robert, Jim, Ann, Steve, and all those in need of healing. And to that end, grant all necessary wisdom and skill to those who serve in medical professions. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, as you call and gather us into your family, so bless the households of this congregation. Bless husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, as they go about their work of strengthening marriage and raising children. Let their love abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, and fill their homes with the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Bring all expectant mothers safely through delivery, and bring their children to the waters of holy baptism. Help your people, especially those without spouses or children, to be content in their circumstances. Bless our schools, those who teach, those who learn, and those who support them. Especially today when we recall the United States Supreme Court decision to legalize abortion on January 22, 1973. We also remember those who suffer from such a decision in our country, especially the children, parents, grandparents, siblings, medical personnel, and all of us who live in such evil days. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for the gifts of both physical and spiritual life that God has given Remo, Theodore, and Henry. Continue to give them physical life according to your will. Preserve them in their baptismal grace. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Thank you.
with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. For you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine will and saving gospel. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, with your servant Peter, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Bye.
Christ shed for you. True body of your Lord Jesus Christ and his holy precious blood, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into everlasting life. Depart in peace. his holy precious blood. Pray that you preserve your body and soul to your last life. Source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Ask.
Good that God has brought us to be here in this place and time. A few glitches in the air conditioner heater did not keep us from praising His name. Even a little delay on the closing hymn as well. Are there any announcements from the congregation? Yes, ma'am.
Giving statements are in the back on the mic box. They're not in medical order, so you can find yours. If they're not picked up, then we'll mail them.
Okay. Find your giving statement.
Yep.
Anything else? Pastor Gallagher's supposed to be back this week. We welcome all of our guests in the room this morning, as well as all of our regulars. Nothing else? Great. I'm not going to stand outside. Seems like the last time I was here, I stayed inside because it was hot. Now this morning, I'll reach you up the long side.